On a Monday, it is a climate-focused state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We start by exploring the work of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, established by Governor Evers in 2019. The office is charged with developing the first-ever Wisconsin Clean Energy Plan. Four virtual listening sessions were held last month around topics like environmental justice, infrastructure, transportation, and energy efficiency. So what investments, incentives, and regulations should be established to help Wisconsin shrink our carbon footprint? It's 800-642-1234. Maria Redmond is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy. She's worked in Wisconsin government under five governors. Maria, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You have been working on our state's first clean energy plan for months now. You've gathered the feedback from residents in these listening sessions. So at this point, what do you see as the biggest barrier to getting Wisconsin's energy carbon free?
So that's a really great question. So the thing about this plan is that it's going to take time. I know we all feel a sense of urgency to address climate change and to address the impacts of climate change, but we do recognize that it's going to take us some time to get it done. And so the clean energy plan is really designed to address that, thinking about the things that we can do immediately that we don't have to wait for, and thinking about things that have high impact that might take a little bit more time, but that we can really focus on strategies that have that high impact. So, you know, some things like a clean energy standard, for example, might take a little longer, but, you know, is that something that we would want to explore for the state? Something that would be immediate would be, you know, looking at our current programming, like our Office of Energy Innovation Grant Programs. You know, is there something we can do with those programs so that we can fund projects faster? So there's it's a challenge because there's so much to look at, so many sectors to look at, so many opportunities to look at, but the barrier is going to be about timing and when is the right time to do the right strategy.
Is there any way you can quantify how many actions might ultimately be in this plan?
So we started out the plan. That's a good question too. We started out the plan basing it on other planning efforts. Mm. And so we basically had a long list of strategies based on the Wisconsin Energy Distribution Technology Initiative, the Governor's Task Force on Climate Change, recommendations that were pushed out at the end of last year. The Great Plains Institute published a number of roadmaps related to the power sector, building sector, and transportation sector. And so we kind of put all of those together. And when we put all those strategies together, it was well over 150. Mm. And you have to also be reasonable in what you can do, reasonably resource-wise and staffing-wise. And so what we did is we put that list together and we kind of been going through that list and saying, hey, you know, if we model this out, if we look at the impacts of carbon emission reductions and greenhouse gas emissions reductions, is this feasible? And so I can't tell you exactly what we're going to land on, but there are going to be a lot of strategies because we're looking at deep decarbonization across multiple sectors. So we can't just have one strategy for every sector. We have to be thinking about, you know, energy efficiency for buildings, electrification for buildings and transportation. There's a lot of interdependencies. If we electrify the transportation system, we need to be thinking about what we're doing with the grid and optimizing the grid and cleaning the grid to ensure that our transportation is fully clean and that we're not relying on fossil fuels to, you know, power our vehicles still. So there's a lot of interdependencies. I don't have a final number,
sure,
but it's certainly not going to be, you know, 150 strategies. You know, we're certainly going to narrow that down to a doable amount. And this is an action plan. So the clean energy plan is really the tool that we're going to use to talk about why is this important from a climate perspective an energy use perspective, energy burden perspective, how are we going to accomplish making change? And who's responsible for that? So that's really what the Clean Energy Plan is about. And it's going to be a living document that we're going to look at, and we're going to, you know, revisit it frequently and see how we're doing and measure ourselves along the way and make adjustments.
So it won't collect dust on a shelf, if you will.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We do not want it to collect dust. We want it to be living and actionable.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Maria Redmond, who is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, as we discuss the forthcoming clean energy plan. With your thoughts on it, what do you think Wisconsin should do to lower carbon emissions? Do you think it's possible to fight climate change effectively in the current polarized political environment? 800-642-1234. Maria, explain then, what stage are you at in putting this plan together?
So we had listening sessions, which you mentioned earlier. We are now taking the public input that we received and are still receiving. So we are still collecting public input. That process will not close even once we release it, because this is an ongoing process. And we're taking a look at the public input and comparing it to the strategies that we have listed for each of the sectors, and taking that into account and going through each of the strategies and identifying the high impact strategies and the immediate action strategies. So we're kind of in the final phase of this. The other part of this is we have great participation from the agencies in the state. And so the agencies are, you know, also giving us some input on what they can do and where we can leverage the great work that's happening at the different agencies to see what we can accomplish as well. So we're getting really close to publishing the first version of it. I'm hoping within the next few months, we'll get that out the door and get it to everyone for, so we can start implementing the actions within the plan.
Will this plan, it's actionable, but will this plan have teeth? What power does a state have to get utilities or to get car owners or to get farmers to take action on this issue?
I think there's an appetite for us to move forward. If you look at what's happening with the utilities, they're already moving forward with clean energy. I think it's a matter of tying us all together and defining it a little bit more. What exactly do we want to do for farmers? And what can we do with farmers? Certainly legislation would be great. So we're also looking at the different types of legislative packages we could potentially put together, but then knowing that sometimes that might be a bit of a challenge, and the timing for that will take a while. We also want to look at, again, I mentioned these immediate action strategies, what we can do with our current programming. So, you know, our current grant programming, our current funding, you know, potentially through different agencies. And then there are things that need to be done that we want to show that we have support for, but we don't necessarily have control over. So, for example, local governments have great climate initiatives. And so the question is if you're a local government moving forward with your climate action plan or sustainability plan, what can the state do to help to support that? Mm. And so is it, what I've heard a lot from local governments is technical assistance and resources. So what can we do to think about that? And as we know, the federal government just signed a huge bill, the Infrastructure and Investment Act, and there's funding coming to Wisconsin. So what could we do to help direct some of that funding to clean energy and sustainability within different businesses, local governments, farmers? I'm just making sure that we kind of define what we want to do and then do it and get the funding where it needs to be.
And that we are going to follow up there and talk more about the infrastructure law. Maria Redmond heads up Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy with the state's first ever clean energy plan under development. What steps have you taken to reduce your carbon footprint? How do you feel about those changes? What feedback would you give state government for its work around clean energy and the environment? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Maria Redmond here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're checking in on Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy and the forthcoming Clean Energy Plan. It's a roadmap, as we've been talking about, for the state's transition away from fossil fuels. Four online meetings were held last month to hear what residents want to have included in the plan. You can give your suggestions now. What innovations have you seen utilities and governments and companies make to reduce carbon emissions? How can state government harness those advancements in this plan? 800-642-1234. Maria Redmond leads Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy with us for about nine more minutes. Maria, as we are talking there, the infrastructure bill that was signed into law by President Biden last week, it includes $12 billion to help capture carbon released by power plants. And some environmentalists have criticized this because they see it as giving a lease on life to fossil fuels. Do you see a future for fossil fuels in Wisconsin?
Well, we'd like to see a future without fossil fuels in Wisconsin. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier is that it will take time to transition. And so the utilities have carbon emission reduction goals and they're working towards that. Carbon capture is a way to reduce carbon emission reductions directly from the plant, but it doesn't fully replace it. It is a way to, it's just a different way to capture the carbon, but not directly, you're still using the fossil fuels. So I think that's where the heartburn is that we don't see the full transition to 100% carbon-free electricity. And that's what our goal is here in the state. So, you know, I think we'd like to see more technology come out and maybe looking at different technology like, you know, hydrogen or renewable natural gas or, you know, other forms that can replace the fossil fuel versus, you know, sequestering the carbon that comes from that fossil fuel from production.
What federal dollars through the infrastructure law do you anticipate will benefit Wisconsin in this goal to becoming carbon free by 2050?
So there's some funding coming for grid, and we don't know how much at this point. It hasn't been identified what's exactly coming to Wisconsin, but there's some grid funding that's going to be coming to the states, and that's going to help us to look at the ways that we can optimize our grid. One, we need optimization of the grid, but we also need transmission in order to ensure that, you know, when we build solar and we have renewables available to us that we can, we have access to it. And so that's one thing that we have to be looking at as well. And so the federal government recognizes the infrastructure needed to be able to sync up the grid with the renewables that could potentially be coming online. And so that's super exciting to be able to have that. And then, you know, there's a ton of infrastructure money coming for, there's $79 million coming for electric vehicle infrastructure. And so that's something to think about as well as we're starting to build out the charging stations for all sizes of vehicles. We also need to be thinking about the energy needed for that and the demand that would have on the state and our grid. And again, we want that energy to be renewable. We don't want it coming from fossil fuels. So we need to the funding will be super helpful to help us to couple those, the transportation and the demand for the energy so that we can continue to reach our goals.
In the area of environmental justice, what will the state do to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate in the new green economy?
That statement of being able to participate in the green economy is so important. Historically, Black, Indigenous, people of color have not been able to participate in the green economy or in the clean energy, in the energy economy for that matter, just our traditional energy economy. They haven't had a say. And so what's so important, part of it is to make sure that people know how to get engaged in processes here at the state. The Public Service Commission dockets are sometimes complicated for people, but we want people to be able to know that they have a voice and that they can be able to speak to the agencies and speak to the commissioners through that process. So it's about education and getting to communities and talking to them about why this is important. It's also, we want to reduce energy burden on communities. And so what are the ways that we can ensure that, you know, it was recently announced that, you know, there's going to be some price hikes for clean energy to be able to transition. And so that's an extra energy burden on folks. And so we want to make sure that we can figure out what we can do to reduce that energy burden. And so energy efficiency is a big part of that. We have the most robust, cost-effective energy program here in the country, focused on energy. And a lot of folks don't know about that program. Hmm. So we want to make sure that people know that they have access to resources to be able to be more energy efficient. But that's about education and getting to communities and talking to them. And so a lot of what we're trying to figure out is what is the best way to get to communities, both rural and urban, to tell them about this plan and to get them engaged in processes so that not only they have a voice, but they can take advantage of the different opportunities that are available to them.
Maria Redmond with us, Director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, as we discuss the office's forthcoming clean energy plan. This is a first for Wisconsin that is in the works. Mike from Spooner called, couldn't stay with us, and Mike said green energy has a carbon footprint as well. And Mike is wondering, what will happen to charging stations or windmills or green batteries? How do we know that the technology used for quote-unquote green energy is still green?
So we have modeling that we're doing to measure the carbon emission, the carbon budget, essentially carbon footprint of each of the green energy technologies. And so we recognize that the end of life of those technologies is super important as well. And so that's something we're thinking about, the recycling of wind turbines, recycling of solar panels, and having those conversations, because that's where innovation comes in. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we are addressing those things and thinking about those things ahead of any sort of retirement of green energy. So thinking about the carbon impact now as well as the carbon impact in the future.
Let's bring on Wesley in Toma. Hi, Wesley. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could explain to me the term climate justice. I mean, I've heard it a lot and I've heard it used in multiples of different ways. I guess I don't quite understand it.
Absolutely. So you hear the term environmental justice and climate justice used interchangeably, but they shouldn't. They're definitely separate. Environmental justice is the meaningful involvement of communities that traditionally haven't been involved in that have bared the burden of emissions and haven't been involved in practices and processes with state and government. And so it's that shared meaningful involvement of communities that have experienced emission reductions. Climate justice is related to the impacts of climate change. And so climate impacts, including extreme weather events, extreme heat, heat islands, health impacts that could be related to emissions or pollutions related to climate change and energy burden, increased energy burden and workforce issues. And it includes the environmental and social issues surrounding climate change and the impacts of climate change.
Wesley, thank you for that question. In our moments left, you've just seen Democratic lawmakers put forth 22 bills tied to clean energy. Does that package of new legislation dovetail at all with the work you're doing on the clean energy plan?
So it does. Any legislation that is proposed in the legislature related to, you know, electric vehicles, any sort of the climate package, that is important part of our work, because that will direct our clean energy plan in a way. If that wasn't there, we need to be thinking about other avenues to address climate change. So if those bills pass, then we do have the opportunity to look at those, that legislation, and factor it into the clean energy plan.
Maria, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Maria Redmond is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, which was created in 2019 by Governor Evers. We have a link to the office at wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Senator Jeff Smith as we take a closer look at that Forward on Climate package that was recently introduced by his Democratic colleagues in both chambers. What do you want to discuss with climate, broadband, and more? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.